Okay, so today we're going to talk about, I guess it's pretty apropos to talk about masks. We're going to talk about Moshe's mask. So when did he put on the mask? What the purpose of the mask is, what the goal of the mask is. So if you begin, you look at the Chumash in Shmos Perek Lamed Dalet. The Torah tells us, try to make it a little bit bigger here. The Torah tells us that, hold on. Is it bigger like this? Okay. The Torah tells us, Vayihi Beredes, this is Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Chavtes, Vayihi Beredes Moshe Behar Sinai, Shnei Luchos HaEdus, Beyad Moshe. Moshe comes down from the mountain and he's got the two Luchos in his hand, Barito binahar Moshe lo yada ki karan or panav bidabro ito. Moshe did not know that he was the light was shining from him; his face was radiant. Vayar Aaron v'chol bnei Yisrael's Moshe v'hine karan or panav yirumi gashes elav. So they see that Moshe's face is so radiant, and they took a step back; they were afraid from coming close to him. Vayikra lehem Moshe called to them, Vayashuvo elav, they returned to him, Aaron v'chol nesim ba'idah, Aaron and all the nesim as well, Vayidaber Moshe alehem, Moshe speaks to them, Va'achreichein nigshu kol b'nei Yisrael, and afterwards all b'nei Yisrael come close, Vayetzaveim, as kol asher dibra Hashem ito b'har Sinai, Moshe commands them about everything Hashem told him at Sinai, Vayachal Moshe midaber itav, and Moshe has finished speaking with them, Vayiten apana masfeh, he puts the mask on. Moshe comes before God to speak with him. He removes the mask. God says so till he leaves. And then he tells the B'nai Israel that which he has commanded. And B'nai Israel will see. They'll see that the face of Moshe is radiant. Then Moshe would put on his mask till he would speak to God. So there's fear, right? There's fear in these psukim. They're afraid of Moshe because of his light. What's the purpose of the mask? What's the reason why he puts the mask on?
Rabbi, I think if I spent 40 days on top of a mountain in the desert, my face, without sunblock, my face would be pretty radiant.
Okay. Although...
I hope the mask has some cold compresses.
I don't know, but is it what it's like for every... So, but it wasn't... It seems like he wore this for all 40 years in the desert, I guess. What one year per day, I guess, up in the mountain with the sun. I don't know. Okay.
What's interesting is that when he speaks, it says when he speaks to Bnei Israel, he takes off the mask.
Right.
When he speaks to Hashem, he takes off the mask also.
Right.
He only seems to be put on the mask when he's by himself.
Right. Yeah. So it's interesting. Right. On the surface, and we're going to get to that. It's a great point. On the surface, you read these psukim, and let's say you don't focus on the details. And you basically think, oh, what happened? They were scared, right? Moshe was very radiant. His face was so full of light. So they need him to cover his face because they were afraid of him. But in fact, Baruch, you are correct. So let's see how some of Farshim understand what the goal of this mask was. That, you know, the Chizkuni basically says, I'm going to try to make this a little bit, hold on. So the Chizkuni says the following. The Chizkuni says, "Umoshe lo yada ki karan or panav, kishanasan akadosh baruch hu yado al pi ha'arash haya b'Moshe." It said actually that Moshe did not know that he had changed. He didn't know that light was shining from his face when God, as it were, placed his hand, as it were, on the mouth of the cave where Moshe was. Ki nichsiv. See. Yeah, so Mike, it's not, Moshe was in a cave. So it wasn't, I don't know if he was up there on top of the mountain. It says he was in a cave there. So Moshe merited these radiant, these rays of splendor. So Moshe, from being in this cave, the second time around, not the first time around, by the way, that's the Chizkut is pointing this out, that if you want, I know Mike was saying it in jest, you know, he goes on top of the mountain for 40 days. So the truth is, Moshe doesn't come down the first time with the radiant face, only with the second time. And it was only when he came down with the second set of lukos, he came down with the radiant face. And at least according to the Chizkuni, Umashe Zacha, Beluchos Achronos, Velo Berishonos, Hainu, why did he come down with the second luchos, not the first? Ayidei Sherishonos, Donu Le'en Kol Beramim V'Kolos Veish. When the first luchos were given, they were given with a whole fireworks show, with thunder and sounds and fire. Uve'eluksiv Gamish Al Yirah V'Kol Hahar. And even with these, it said the person should not see what's... they shouldn't go to the mountain. Me'acha sherishonos natnu b'kolos u'brakim v'anan v'lapidim v'alo nosu b'chashai. The first set of lukos were given with the whole fireworks display. The second ones were given in quiet and private. Ilulei karnei ha'hod ha'yapischon pelumos lomar lo nitnu lukos acheros v'lo yu ma'aminim shenitnu lo kadosh baruch hu. Had Moshe's face not been shining in a very supernatural kind of way, the nations could have said, yeah, Moshe wrote these lukos himself. Who said that God gave it to him? So this was a sign that God gave him these lukos. He didn't need that for the first set of lukos, because the first set of lukos, it was very clear to everyone, in Bnei Yisrael at least, that this was given from God. So that's what the Chizkuni wants to say. So, and by the way, what's interesting is, you know, the language maybe a little bit reminds you, let's go back to the psukim. I don't know if this reminds you of another story in the Torah, but it's sort of like Moshe doesn't know that he's different, and everyone sees that Moshe's face is full of light. Vayiru migeshes elav. They're afraid to come near him, and Moshe says, "No, come." And then Aaron comes, and then Bnei Yisrael come. So I don't know. Is there another place in the Torah, perhaps, where someone's afraid of maybe of coming
about the
Sneh? So Moshe's afraid, but God doesn't tell him to come to Sneh. Yeah, that's I hear what you're saying.
And the other one is how about Adon and Chava?
Oh, what do you mean by that?
They were afraid.
They hid.
Oh, they hid. Right. And the God said, what did he say? Ah, but God didn't say. Well, they were. It's not, well, they were afraid because of, there they were afraid of embarrassment. Here, I was thinking of a different story. I was thinking of like Yosef and the brothers. I remember when like Yosef disclosed his identity to his brothers, and then they're afraid, right? They're afraid from coming close to him. And Moses said, no, come near. And I think like in both of these instances, there's this realization that something has changed. The brothers thought, you know, that Yosef was long gone, and now they realize, oh my gosh, he's the viceroy of Egypt, and now they're afraid. Something has changed. And maybe also what's going on here is that the Bnei Yisrael realized that when Moshe comes down with the second set of luchos, yes, God forgives him, he gives him the second set of luchos, but maybe they realize that something has changed. So if you, and in fact, if you look at Rashi, I think Rashi picks up on that. Rashi says, "Vayiru migeshes elav, borei, come and see, kama gedola kochel shalveira, how powerful, how great, and how powerful is sin? How great is the power of sin? Shaad shlo pashu yudeim baveira, that before they stretched their hands forth with sin." Ma'u, remember what does the pasuk say? "Umarei kavod Hashem keish ochelas barosha har la'ini b'nei Yisrael," that the vision of the glory of God was like a burning fire, consuming fire, on the top of the mountain, to the eyes of all the Bnei Yisrael, v'lo yireim, v'lo mizdazim, and the people were not afraid; they weren't shaking. Let's think about it. At Har Sinai, the whole fireworks, the whole light and sound show, and at least initially, Bnei Yisrael are there. U'mishasu se'ega, once they worshipped the golden calf, af mikarni holo shemosha hayu martim mizdazim, they were afraid. In other words, what's happening here? It's an interesting question. What changed? Is it that Moshe became holier or that the Bnei Yisrael became unholier or less holy, right? So again, it could be either one.
Why can't it be both?
I say you're right. It could be both. I'm saying it could be both. Rashi is highlighting. I mean, the Chizkut is highlighting that it's a proof, I guess. But Rashi's focusing on the fact that it's the lower status of the Bnei Yisrael, and in fact, it also points to Moshe's humility, that he doesn't realize that the light is emanating from him. He might have thought it's emanating from the Luchos. He didn't realize he was a different person. Some Midrashim suggest, because he himself helped write the second set of Luchos, so maybe he was on a higher, and he was on a higher level because of this. In any case, this approach suggests that the function of the mask was protection, to protect the people from the radiance of Moshe. That's what you would have said upon a superficial reading of the story, that Bnei Yisrael were afraid, so Moshe puts on this mask. But of course, and in other words, the goal of the mask is a response to the distance. It allows Moshe and Bnei Yisrael to still communicate, even though the Bnei Yisrael were now in a much lower spiritual level than Moshe. Maybe it relates to the Bnei Yisrael's request. They want a God to lead them, by Kim Kithisa, right? In this week's Parsha, they said, we want an Elohim to lead us, and Moshe's God. So maybe we need to upgrade Moshe's status. If you look in Davar Acher, in the Chizkuni, back in the first source, it says, Lefisha Ratzu Lahami, why was there a light? Lefisha Ratzu Lahami Lahem Mani B'Makom Moshe. They want to appoint another leader in the place of Moshe. Hero Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Mole Miziv Shchinaso Al Piv Ve'in Lahami Acher B'Mkomo. No, you don't need another leader. You can have Moshe has the divine presence of God, the light of God on his countenance. So Moshe is fit to be a leader with almost supernatural powers. So again, that is why the Torah says essentially that the Bnei Yisrael perhaps were afraid. They saw the radiance of Moshe. So that's why they had the mess. But as Baruch correctly points out, it's not exactly when Moshe did the mask. The Torah says that Moshe put on the mask when he didn't speak to them. If you look at Rashi, Perek Labadal, Pasuk Labagibo, Vayitei Al Putav Masveh, V'lichvod Karnei Hahot, Shli Yazudu HaKol Mehem, Hoya Nosein Es HaMasveh Kenegdam, V'notlo Bishah Shehoya Medaber Im Yisrael. And to honor the rays, so we're going to see the reason, but he said he removed it when he would speak with the Bnei Yisrael. Uvishah Shamadaber Nadaber Imo Atzeso, Vitzeso Yotze Belo Masveh. So Rashi confirms what Baruch read from the Psukim, that Moshe had the mask on except when he spoke to the Bnei Yisrael, and except when he spoke with God. So if the goal is that they're afraid, that's a little strange. Then you would say he should put on the mask when he speaks with them. And the truth is, that's why the Abravanel has this unique suggestion. The Abravanel says that v'zachar akasav shel kasher higidu l'moshe Aaron v'nasim ki koran or panav nasan al panav masveh. That the pasuk says that, you know, that when everyone saw that Moshe's face was radiant, that he put on his face a mask. The purpose of the mask was not so they would come close to him. Then he should have put on the mask when he spoke with them and to remove it afterwards. He didn't do this. And then then the Ibn Ezra has a suggestion which he doesn't like. And if you skip to the fifth line, he says, Aval inyan zed slihu. I'll tell you what I think, says the Abravanel. He says, you know what I think? Kasher yada ki karan or panav shelo haya davar hagun varoi shishtamesh bezor hahu b'divrei chulin. He said, it's not appropriate for me to have my face radiant the radiance of God, when I'm speaking mundane matters. In other words, when my light, when the light of my face is shining, that's divine. I shouldn't be engaged in mundane matters when my face is bright with the Shechina of Hashem, as it were. And therefore, you know what I should do? I should cover up my face. So then if you skip a couple lines, about three lines after that, the end of the line, Neze biyosa medaber im Hashem. When Moshe would speak with Hashem, Hoya Mesir Asamasva, he would remove the Masha, Az Hoya Medaber Mekabel Hashefa. There he would receive the divine influence, Baruch? The divine influence from God? The overflowing divine influence from God.
Hashefa is when you realize that Hashem gives you everything.
Right. So he's receiving this shefa from God. He's receiving this overflowing everything from God. When he would speak to Bnei Israel, he would also speak without a mask. Then he would give over that overflowing abundance of spirituality to the Bnei Israel. But afterwards, he would put a mask on his face. Eloki be'es achila v'mishta v'sheina v'gam be'es dibro li'ishta v'anshe be'es advarim she'enam min ha'tarva mitzvos. He didn't want to use that Zohar, that radiant light of God, when there was eating and drinking and sleeping, when he spoke to his wife and the people of his household with matters that were not from the Torah, the mitzvos. L'fi she'en ha'dvarim ha'heim mimash. Okay, and so that's essentially, there's more to this, but that's basically his point. His point was that the Moshe only wore the veil, the mask, when he was not engaged in spiritual matters. When he was speaking to Hashem, he didn't wear the mask. When he spoke to Bnei Israel, he didn't wear the mask. He wore the mask at other times. And the reason is because the function of the mask was to protect the light of God. It would be inappropriate for Moshe to use this special spiritual this face that he had in ordinary everyday matters such as eating and drinking and sleeping. However, when he was engaged in imparting the message of Torah to the Bnei Israel, he did not wear the mask, so that the Bnei Israel would feel the full impact of Moshe's personality. So again, this could explain why Moshe put on his mask only when he finished speaking to the Bnei Israel. However, how does that connect with the first part of the story? The first part of the story is that Bnei Israel are afraid of the light emanating from Moshe's face. And Moshe doesn't solve the problem. In other words, they're afraid, right? They see Moshe's face, his light is full, it's glowing, and they're afraid to come near her. Moshe says, no, come near. And so he said, I have a solution, a mask. But he doesn't solve the problem because he's not wearing the mask when he's speaking to them. So what's the goal of the mask? It seems the goal of the mask is to respond to the fear of the Bnei Israel. Again, the Chizkuni does point this out. The next Chizkuni, he says the same, a similar idea. He says, "Ubo Moshe lifnei Hashem, kishayah davar nedaber Moshe, or kishayah Moshe atzam davar Yisrael." When Hashem would speak to Moshe, or Moshe would speak to Bnei Israel, lo yonosei masal panav, he wouldn't put the mask on his face. Mishum v'haya inecha ro'os et morecha, that your eyes should see your masters. U'morecha mashem erkadosh baruch hu, means from God, l'gabe Moshe, and Moshe l'gabe Israel. When you're hearing Torah, you should hear directly from your masters. That's why, right? I mean, it's okay if people actually, they can see me, I can't see them. Okay, fine. But anyway, we should see each other's faces, right? So when we're learning Torah together. Why? So he says, the reason why they shouldn't constantly see the light of Moshe's face, because they shouldn't see it all the time, the sanctification of Moshe's face. Imagine Moshe would walk around all day with this bright light, this radiant face, and they're like, big deal. So you don't want to have it all the time, right? If you have Shabbos 7 days a week, then Shabbos is no longer special. If you have Shabbos once a week, then it's special. If Moshe's face is always radiating, they're like, big deal. So therefore, so that they don't disparage the holiness of Moshe's face and what it represents. So we're only going to keep it uncovered when Moshe speaks to them.
Could it be a metaphor or something?
What do you mean? Well, again, it's not a metaphor. I mean,
In other words, what it means is that there is no mask. What I was trying to say is that when you speak to the Bnei Yisrael, the same idea. In other words, you're connecting. When you're connecting to Hashem, because Panim relates to...
Panim, right.
Things like that, you're connecting. When he's by himself, he's not connecting with Hashem, so it's like as if there's a mask. There's no, like, similar to this, but there's no real mask.
Right, So I'd like to say, Baruch, I don't think you have to say it's figurative. I think it can be literal. And what Moshe is doing is actually teaching them, I think, a message similar to what you're saying. I think what you could argue that what happens at the end of this parsha is similar to what happens at Sinai. The Bnei Yisrael want to hear the Ten Commandments. What happens after they hear the Aseres HaDibros from Hashem directly? What do they say? They're scared. We can't handle it anymore, Moshe. You speak to us. We don't want Hashem to speak to us. So similarly here, Bnei Yisrael are too overwhelmed by Moshe's radiance, by his glow. They're too afraid to approach. But in both instances, Bnei Yisrael do not back down. They hear the word of God at Sinai, and Moshe speaks to them without the mask. And only after the speech, he puts on the mask. Perhaps Moshe wants the Bnei Yisrael to experience the fear emanating from his glowing countenance, just as God wanted the Bnei Yisrael to experience the fear emanating from God's radiant light at Sinai. Because a mask can also serve not merely as a protection, but also as a disguise as well. If Moshe had worn the mask always while speaking to the Bnei Yisrael, they would be hidden from the true Moshe, from the radiant light of this Gadol Hador, even though they can't handle it.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I just want one thing. Moshe had this glow, this whip,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yet the people were able to argue him 10 times. Korach was able to go up to him face to face. The whole Machlokas was with Korach. How's it possible?
Because if people, the same way that they could worship the golden calf 40 days after Mount Sinai. Because, unfortunately, as we know in life, these singular, unbelievable moments, don't necessarily have long-lasting effect unless we use them to develop ourselves, develop our personality, and it's not something that is necessarily long-lasting. This is a great show by Moshe, but again, we find that people who have emunah, who don't rebel, they may see an amazing wonder which shakes them up for a moment, but unless they're working on themselves day in, day out, then they rationalize. And again, Korach, again, was it after the Meraglim said they weren't going to enter into Eretz Yisrael, use it as an excuse? What did his jealousy blind him? You think of a lot of different reasons. People say, if only I had a miracle, I would believe. And I'm not sure if that's always the case. You believe for a little bit of time.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, if this glow was on him 24/7,
right,
you know, for 3 years in the desert,
right,
I don't see how they can go face-to-face with him.
Okay, I don't see when food is falling down from the sky. Okay. Make the same argument, Evan. Food is falling down from the sky. How can they rebel against that also? Right? There's so many miracles. I don't know. In other words, why are you highlighting this miracle of Moshe as opposed to so many other miracles?
I think this was between man and man.
Okay.
Garden.
Okay. Maybe. Could be.
The Rambam and Moran Avuchim says that there are certain people that like have a flash. In other words, like, oh.
Right.
I get this.
Yeah.
I understand it. This is a flash.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other people, like the sky lights up and you see everything. There are other people like Moshe, it's constantly flashing.
Right.
He's constantly seeing things, you know. Right. So that may be this type of an idea.
Could be. But people are still blind to the truth. So
I'm saying that there's no back to mind, no mask story.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Let me finish my point, then I'll take your response, which I want to hear, but I was in the middle of my point. Let me finish this. So I think that the question is, how do we relate to Gedolim without feeling so worthless? Sometimes you know, we sometimes feel, I think, you know, we hear these unbelievable Gedolim stories, and sometimes we feel like worthless, like they were like unbelievable in terms of their Torah, their dil, their kavada, their tefillah, their unbelievable acts of chesed, and it could be very, very intimidating, and you could read these stories and simply feel worthless, just like the B'nai Israel felt so intimidated by a god, you know, at Sinai, like who are they compared to God? Just like perhaps, you know, the people were feeling when they saw Moshe with this light, and like we can't handle it. And I think that our challenge is to say, you're right. You know, sometimes you might need a mask, because if we always see these unbelievable people, and we see how limited we are compared to them, so it could paralyze us. We look at our own flaws compared to like tremendous gedolim, and how we're not living up to how we should live up, that we can sort of, I think, disconnect, and we're not part of that world. When perhaps Moshe's sort of saying that you're right, you know, sometimes you need to put on the mask, because you're right, you can't handle it. You probably can't handle it, but fight through it. But fight through it. Try to still learn from them. Try to still embrace. Try to still read about these stories. Try to be inspired. Try to still grow. Try to still connect. Even though it seems almost impossible to connect. It's almost impossible to connect with God at Har Sinai. It's almost impossible to connect with Moshe Rabbeinu with a mask, with a masfeh. It's almost without the masfeh. It's almost impossible. But when he's speaking to you, you got to fight through it. Fight through those feelings of worthlessness and try to connect to their level of greatness. And when you do that, then some of their light will shine on each one of us. So that's my thought as to how to connect their fear with Moshe's response. They were afraid, but Moshe said, fight through it. I'm not going to wear it when I don't need to, but when I'm speaking to you, fight through it and let my light shine on you. Okay. I'll be happy to